Morning to you all. Greet you in the name of Jesus. Beautiful day to worship the Lord and to gather together here in God's house. The title of the message this morning is A Godly Mother's Legacy. A Godly Mother's Legacy. But I thought about Mother's Day. I don't know that I ever searched into why, when was Mother's Day originated, and I did not write down the date. I don't know if that's really important. But Anna Jarvis was the one who founded Mother's Day. And it was interesting to read that she spent time and energy into helping this be established as a national day. And within a few years, she was fighting against it, trying to get it taken away. And it was because that so many people have taken this day and abused it. And her idea of Mother's Day was simply that Mother's Day would be like that and not like this. Now maybe you need to think about that a little bit first. But one of the things that she wanted to see that it would be an intimate experience between the child and the mother. But in today's world, it's commercialized. People are using Mother's Day to make money, and they're sending texts to 15 other women or whatever like that, and it's really insincere. And her idea of Mother's Day is that it would be a sincere gesture that you would take a day, you would do something for your mother. And it's only your mother that you're worried about. That was her point. So why should we, and so she used, when she saw what it became, she then spent the rest of her life fighting against it, and she never won. It got traction, and it went. Just a little interesting note. But why should we look at Mother's Day today? We don't look at Mother's Day, and I'm not preaching on Mother's Day because that Anna Jarvis established this day, and we think it's a good thing. But we can look at Mother's Day because I can take you to many scriptures that tell you to honor your mother and to respect her for what she has done. And that's why we want to do that. Think of the word legacy. What is a legacy? A legacy, the way we want to use it today, is a gift or a heritage that you have received from your mother. Turn with me for a basis to 1 Timothy chapter 1. It's 2 Timothy. I'd like to read here of an account of a man who received a legacy or a gift. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Here we have a young man that received a legacy, a gift from that started his grandmother and then his mother. He would receive a gift from them. And if we would go back to Acts, we could see that his father, Timothy's father, was a Greek. And it doesn't really say, but it leaves the impression that possibly his father was not a believer. And so, but Paul was looking at Timothy and he's saying, some of the reason you are today is because of the faith, the gift that you received from not only your grandmother, but also your mother. Not only your mother, but also your grandmother. I think it would be the better way to say it. It said it dwelt first in his grandmother Eunice. And we can take from that she may have been the first one in her family to be converted. We don't know. And then she then gave that to Eunice. And Eunice, in turn, gave that to Timothy. And so, while we cannot make our children follow our steps, while they must own it for themselves, the faith, we can give them a gift. And that is, I think, what is so important, is that we can give our children a gift, something that they can take and live out in their lives, something they can look to as an example. Godly mothers are known for their commitment to Christ and the beauty that shines from that. And I'm using the term godly mothers this morning because an ungodly mother does not have the same legacy. They have something different. But one of the things I think is so beautiful is to see a godly mother with her children and training her children and supporting her husband. I just want to say to you sisters and mothers this morning, there is nothing more beautiful than a modestly dressed Christian woman. I think it is one of the most beautiful sights that you can ever see. And I just want to encourage you, and that there is nothing more important in your life than to be a godly Christian mother. There is no ministry more important. There is no other work more important than for you to be faithful in the responsibilities God has called you to as a mother. You know, we could go and be involved in lots of other things, but yet if we would lose our own children, it would be devastating. There is nothing more important. I just want you to know that this morning. You know, as I think of mothers and what they hand down to their children, you know, I think of several things I've thought about recently. I could take you to a mother who sheds many tears for her wayward children. I've also been told several times about my own mother that she is a very content woman and very gracious. And I know that is true. In a conversation with someone recently, they said something about someone else's mother, that this person's mother was a real gem. And it's just an indicate. It's one of those things where a person lived a life, and someone looks at it and says, "This is what I saw. This is what they handed down." And maybe it wasn't even their children, but other people looked on, and they saw a gift that was handed down to their children. And it probably depends where you're at in life as to how you view your mother. The ones sitting on the front bench and maybe the ones on the second bench here look at their mother a little differently than what maybe I do, or maybe someone whose mother has passed away and once you've got married and you have children of your own. What Marlon said is true. And I called my mother this morning and I told her the very thing. It looks a little different on this side of the fence. It is different. You see, maybe if you're still at home, possibly sometimes you take your mother for granted, maybe even tangle with her, and maybe even disrespect her at times. But if you're somewhere close to my age, you probably tend to reflect and you think about all that your mother has done for you. But is it possible that we would somehow miss the meaning of our mother's legacy? She could leave us a gift and we would totally miss it. I think that is possible. So I'd like to, as I thought about a mother's legacy and the gift that they leave, several points I'd like to look at. Number one is understanding your mother. I don't intend to say that this is all conclusive, that I completely understand a mother and their world. I haven't lived in it, so I can't say that I totally understand it. There are a few things that have stood out to me over the years that I think is important for us to understand. Letter A, she staked her life by the man that is your father. She staked her life by the man that is your father. In Genesis 2, verse 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make and help meet for him." We know that verse. It's a familiar verse. But it was established from creation that the wife would be the helpmeet for the husband. They would enter into a relationship, but it was clearly lined out that he would be the leader, she would be the helpmeet, and the scriptures say the wife should submit to the husband. And there's an account in Genesis of when Abraham's hired servant, Eliezer, went to get a wife for Isaac. And you remember the account there that he went, and you know how God prospered his plans. And he sat there and he says, "Okay, can we take her and go?" And they said, "Well, let's call and we'll ask her." And they said to her, "Will you go?" And she said, "Yes, I will go." And it is so amazing to me that a woman who had never met this man before, she may have heard some things about him, I don't know. But she was willing to leave her family, leave her security, leave her identity, and go and place her trust in a man she'd never even met. And I did not think about this when I got married. I was probably a little overconfident in my abilities at that point in life. But I am amazed at how a young woman will take and put their trust in a young man for their life. It is amazing to me. They walk up the aisle together, and they become one flesh. And she puts, in a sense, just says, I will be with you, I will be yours the rest of your life. I will put my trust in you, and I will put my confidence in you. Now, we know that there's a greater power. There's a higher place. We put our trust in God. But I think there's a poem that says it well. I've read it here before, and I'm not going to read it now. I'm just going to read one stanza. It's on a woman's heart. It was a plea to a young man. It says, is your heart an ocean so strong and true, I may launch my all on its tide. A loving woman finds heaven or hell on the day she is made a bride. It is simply saying that a woman will take and will put her life with a man and say, I will be yours the rest of my life. And the challenge comes to us as men, and you know, we can make that a beautiful life, or we can make it a terrible life. It is within our power. Only by God's grace, but it is within our power to make them have a miserable life. There may be days that you wonder why your mother sticks so closely to your dad. Why she stands with him on everything. Or maybe you wonder why she's so willing to pinch the pennies and to even do without herself, just to make the family work, just to make things make the ends meet. Remember, she has staked her life. She has left her dad and mom. She has staked her life with this man the rest of her life. To me, it has been an important thing for me to understand my mother, and to understand and to learn to respect her, is because she has staked her all. She has put her stake with this man. My wife did it with me. Your wife did it with you. Or maybe even your family is in a situation where you believe that your mother should stand up. But remember, she staked her life by him. And the scriptures even go farther to say in Ephesians 5, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, unto the Lord. Ephesians 5:33, nevertheless, not let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. You see, not only has she staked her life, but behind that is a vow and a promise that she will keep. And even behind that are scripture verses that say that a wife should submit to her husband. And I believe, the scriptures would teach that a woman should submit to her husband as long as it does not conflict with the Word of God. Now, I know that's a tall order. That's a tough order. But to help us understand our mother, we must understand this is what the Bible teaches. You know, sometimes I don't think we always understand what we have done in life. When we were younger, maybe sometimes we tried to put a separation between our dad and mom. We tried to get mom to side with us against something else. Have you all ever done anything like that? I'm sure you did. But yet, the times that they stuck together and they did not give is such a beautiful picture. And you see, even at the time, maybe you thought it should have been different. But remember, she was giving you a legacy, a gift. That when you look back 20 years later, you will look at that and you will respect that much more than if she would have did what actually Rebecca did many years later. She shouldn't have done. At the end of the day, she will have respect of her family when she follows the word of God and submits to her husband, even though it may be difficult. Let her be, she bonded with you in ways that others have not. And Isaiah 49, verse 15 says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee." And I know this verse is saying that is possible. But I think what the meaning of that verse is simply saying that we know that the answer is no. Will a woman forget her child? The one that she has carried for 9 months, the one that she bore, the one that she held for so often in the cradle and nursed? No, she ain't going to forget him. It is amazing how much talk today is on bonding, especially when you do adoption and some of that, there's talk of that because that is so important. And today, even they have to teach mothers, it seems so wrong, that they make sure they bond with their child. And I just think it shows, I think that should be a natural, something that happens naturally, but teach them to bond with their child. And even some of the research I did says 20% of the women do not bond with their child. It takes them a long time to bond. And I don't understand that. I'm a dad, I'm a male, I don't understand that. It just seems like for someone who has carried that child, that bonding starts to happen immediately as it is conceived in the womb. That bonding happens and continues to bond up through. But research shows that someone who bonds with their child, they called it the caregiver, the one who does the most care, which should be the mother, when they have someone to bond to, that it is obvious that child grows up and is more confident in life and can face life a whole lot better. They're more secure and can face life better than a child who has not had that security of someone bonding with them in those early months. That initial bond is carried for years to come. A mother can remember details about a child that a father will not, of the beginning stages. Memories that are long gone from me, a mother can bring up, and then they're just like they were as yesterday. It is perfectly normal. In light of all this, it's normal that the mother would have a tenderness that us as men do not have. They were created that way. They have that tenderness. And even in reading stories of men who are out in the battlefield and they realize they may be dying, their thoughts go where? To their mother. The tenderness of their mother and how they were brought up. When they get another difficult situation, sometimes they go back to their mother. And I remember even myself, I had trouble understanding my mother the day I got married. I remember before I left the house, of course, life was starting for me. But for her, it was a serious, I didn't understand her tears. I don't think I did, but today I certainly would. I haven't left any children go yet, but it makes perfect sense to me. She bonded with you in ways others have not. Let her see your mother faces lots of emotional pressure. And I don't know how you feel about this subject. If many ways women, mothers maybe are, tend to be a little bit weaker emotionally. Can I say that? Is that a fair sometimes than men? One of the verses we would use for that is also is 1 Peter 3, verse 7. "Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." That word weaker there does not necessarily refer to the emotions. So I don't want to take it out of context. But we do know that they are in many ways more tender and weaker than men. One of the things that has been that I admire tremendously is the emotional pressure that they do hold up under. You know, as I've watched as men, we can go out and we can run projects, we can work with difficult customers and have stressful days. And we think we can handle a lot of stress, maybe even thrive under it. But you take us and put us for a couple days in the same situation as our wives face every day, and a lot of us would almost come apart. Maybe you don't face that. I look at what our mothers do, what our wives do, and look at their pressure day in and day out of questions and learning to, and constantly discipline issues and constantly making decisions on a day-to-day basis. And their husband comes home and all of a sudden he's supposed to be king for the rest of the evening and pay attention to him. Is that the way it works? And you see, there's tremendous emotional pressure. But yet they are fulfilling their duty. And Titus talks about that. Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. That is what they are called to do. It's what God gives them grace to do. It says they are to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And then, okay, now I'm going to stick up for them a little bit. Children, you wonder why your mother sometimes gets a little snappy. And I want you to think about it. They face a lot of pressure. They face a lot of constant emotional stress every day. Maybe they're up. I know you all get snappy sometimes. I've been told already that if you want to make a mother go on a guilt trip, just talk about patience and not getting angry and things like that, and they go on a guilt trip real quick. And I understand that. Today I'm trying to take up for the others. I'm trying to take up for you, okay? And I just want you as children to bear with your mother. And think about the fact that they really do have a lot on their plate. It is constant. It never goes away. You know, as men sometimes, I just enjoy getting in the truck and getting away sometimes. I mean, not that I don't like home, not that I don't like my wife. I just need to get out a little bit. But they're there day in and day out. Number two, second main point is respecting your mother. Now, how does this fit with the legacy? And I'll try to explain that in the message here. The reason we need to look at this point is because if we disrespect our mother, not only do we undermine our own character and our own reputation, but we will miss the legacy if we disrespect our mother. When you disrespect someone, when you do not respect someone, you do not hear what they say, and you will criticize everything they do. Now, we know that respect is a two-way street, but today we're going to look at one side of the coin, okay? Today we're looking at one side of the coin. I'd just like to take you to a couple of verses, in the Old Testament verses, and it talks about the seriousness of disrespect. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Verse 18, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of the city, of his city, and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is glutton. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of that city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put away from you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now you want to talk about straight language. You want to talk about judgment against disrespect. But that was the Old Testament law. And I wonder how often that happened. I guess if the parents never took the son, I guess it never happened. I was just trying to even think through what point the parent would have to come through to come to this point where they would actually do this. I don't have all the answers, but I'm just sharing this passage to show us the seriousness, and I believe how God looks at disrespect toward our mother. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20. Says, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Proverbs 30, verse 17, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. One of the things that stands out to me in these verses is that when a person dishonors their parents, that they are the ones that actually get the punishment. They're the ones that actually they get the repercussions. The first one talks about there, it says that his lamp shall be put in obscure darkness. And it means that his life is not going to prosper. His pathway, he ain't going to be able to see where he is going. He's going to go in the wrong direction. And he's the one that's going to suffer, not his parents, the ones he has tried to slam down and push down. And the other one says that the eagle's going to pluck his eyes out. And again, a picture of someone who won't know where to go. They'll be blind and not knowing where to go. And so when we disrespect our mother, we shoot ourselves in the foot. We are the ones that suffer because she had her commandment is law and life. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So we have here the word honor. And that word honor means to prize, to value, or revere. Now the question I simply have here, how can we show respect to our mother? And I have 4 points here I'd like to look at. Letter A is to show respect by obedience. There is nothing that warms the heart of parents more than obedience. And obedience is more than just going through the motions of doing it. It's more than just grudgingly, poutingly obeying. But obedience that is done cheerfully is something that is very rewarding to the parents. As parents, when we see a lack of obedience and we see hesitancy to obey, when we see disobedience, to us it's a signal that something's not quite clear. There's a little bit of a disconnect. And it can bring concern. It can bring concern. We know that we have work to do. And you know, we can say anything we want to. We can say how much we love our mother. Today we could just bless her with flowers and loving words. We can maybe even do things for her today. It would seem great. But the proof is obedience. What I do a week from now, 2 weeks from now. You see, if I really want to respect my mother, then I will obey her. Not only in action, but in heart. Let her be, show respect through thankfulness. And I think about that because of the word value. That one of the ways we show honor is honor thy father and thy mother. Value your mother. And one of the ways we show value is through thankfulness. If you enjoy your job, you should tell your boss, thank you. I appreciate what you do for me. As you know, and appreciate the, if you get a raise, you thank him for it. And every one of us has deep down within our hearts, we want to be appreciated. We want to know that what we are doing, what we are putting our energies into is appreciated. If we don't know if we're appreciated or not, we can quickly become insecure. Saying thank you with a cheerful expression is very meaningful. And I've seen it happen already. You know, maybe there's a meal brought before. And, you know, some people don't know how to say thank you. And so they pick it apart. They say, well, you know, here's what should have been different about the meal. Here's how it should have been done. And, you know, that's terribly arrogant. You know, what we are doing when we do that, we're simply saying that I could have done a better job at preparing this meal. I'm using a meal because it happens 3 times a day. And it's one of those things that is a constant thing that we face. Now, how would you like if you were out on the job and you have 15 years of experience, 20 years of experience, and here comes someone that has only done this just a few times, and they say, you know what, you need to change how you're doing, you need to do it a different way. You'd be like, well, I mean, okay, I've been doing this for years. I know what I'm doing. Don't you think that's what we were doing to our mother? She can pick up if the taste isn't quite what it should have been, if something was done right. She knows. She has all the experience. But I believe that thankfulness must first start with dads. Us as dads, I believe that a thankfulness at the table and thankfulness for what our mothers, our wives are doing for us should start with us. And if children are unthankful, that they have dad to deal with, right? I hope so. I believe it should be that way. I really do believe that simple things, that sincere thank you at each meal is important. And learn to show thankfulness for all that your mother has done for you. And I think of how I used to be as a young man growing up. And, you know, I needed clean clothes for everywhere I went. And I needed this, you needed that. And you expected it. You wanted it to be. And I think of the times, probably I did not show the thankfulness I should have because, you know what? Some days it wasn't always that way I wanted it. And one of the things I could have done better is learn to do stuff on my own and do it myself if I so needed it so badly. Letter C is show respect through protection. Maybe you don't really think about protecting your mother. But to show value, if you're going to show value to someone, you're going to protect them. You will protect them. And I have 3 points under this. Number one, it's protect her emotionally. Maybe this is new thoughts to you. Do you know ways you can protect your mother emotionally? Is don't make unrealistic demands on her. Don't get so upset at her when the clothes aren't quite clean. Don't put her to such a high standard that she cannot meet. Number two, protect her reputation. You know, sometimes mothers do make mistakes. They're not perfect. They're just like us as dads. They make mistakes sometimes. And sometimes they may need to come back and say they're sorry. And you need to forgive them. You should forgive them. And not blow it out to someone else. There's something about it. I don't know how you are. But when someone says something negative about your mother, you know, it really goes deep. Maybe you never had that happen. But it really goes deep. And you know what? There's something within us that wants to just rise up and say, that's not true, even though it may be true. So I believe we must learn to protect her reputation. A mother cannot be perfect. Don't make her someone she cannot be. Number three, protect her through courtesy. Courtesy is something that we all appreciate. It is a way to make your mother feel valued. You know, as young men, young boys, you want someone to practice on your mother. I mean, if you want someone to practice as far as future life, if you're thinking about a companion someday, you know, there are words that are spoken through actions. But when a mother has someone walking beside them that opens the door for them, that is courteous to them, that is helping them, there's a message that goes out that this woman is protected. Have you never thought about that? But you know, if someone was going to try to do harm or anything, they would have someone else to deal with first. By courteously opening doors, courteously escorting your mother, doing things for her like that, that I believe should be common practice, more common among us than maybe are sometimes. There's a silent message goes out that this woman is protected. You will never regret showing courtesy to your mother. Boys, please, you will never regret showing courtesy to your mother. She deserves every bit of it. And girls, likewise, as well. Letter D, show respect for your own good. Ephesians chapter 6 says, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You know, behind your mother's experience is a lot of wisdom. There's a lot of wisdom behind your mother's experience. And it's just simply saying in Ephesians chapter 6, do you want to live a good life? You want to live a long life? Listen to your mother. That's kind of what that is saying. And you know, sometimes you can maybe laugh at how scared she gets about some of the things that you tackle. But you know what? She's probably more right than you are. Proverbs chapter 1. Turn with me there. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. And here's what the law of your mother will be for you. Okay, it's for your good, but it's more than that. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Now, I know we don't wear jewelry today, but that's the sense where if you were in a culture. No, I get, you know, it was just different in the Old Testament. If you were in a time and a dispensation that jewelry was worn and there was chains about their neck, where it was an honor, the sign of being a dignity, that's what it would be to you. Just say listening to your mother would look like that. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 through 24. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Again, there it is, the law of your mother. Bind them continually about thy heart, tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You see the opposite here in these verses of what we read about in Proverbs before, where it says the one that disrespects are going to have their eyes plucked out, they're not going to know where they're going. Here it is, it says that your mother's law is your light. It's the guide to your way. And you're going to get up in the morning, you're going to think about what your mother told you and how they taught you. And hopefully your father as well. You know, young men, there's not many young men here, but I don't care if you're 12 years old, you can learn to start thinking about this, okay? Remember that the way you treat your mother is most likely the way you will treat your wife. I'm serious. That's the way it is. You know, we can think that it would be different. I'll have this young lady and she will be everything that I've ever wanted. And it's just going to be different. Let me tell you, it's not. It's not. The way you treat your mother is the way we will treat our wife. And so start treating. If you're not treating your mother with respect, start today. And if you are, keep doing what you're doing. And young ladies, I know you're young yet, and you're not old enough to think about courtship, but if there is a young man that has interest in you that does not respect his mother or his sisters, you better send him packing, because he will do the same thing to you someday. Number three, in conclusion, is seeing the legacy. Now, maybe you wondered as I preached, what is the legacy? And I have a reason for that, and I'm going to explain it in a bit. But I believe that it is correct that it is a two-way street, okay? It is a two-way street. Mothers, you do have responsibility in this. Letter A is a mother's responsibility in the legacy. To mothers, you are giving your children a gift every day. And every day you're giving them something that they will remember you by. That is a serious side of life. And how we respond to situations will stick with them. And I just want to encourage you that if you do respond wrongly, to make it right. At least they can have memories of a mother that was not too proud to come back and say, I'm sorry. But the greatest gift you can give them is an example of a godly life and someone who is a godly wife as well. There's a little poem, a mother's creed it is called. Lord, to whom am I to teach the way? To little children, day by day. So prone myself to go astray. I teach them knowledge, but I know how faint they flicker and how low the candles of my knowledge glow. I teach them power to will and do, but only now to learn anew my own great weakness through and through. Lord, if their guide I still must be, oh, let my children see their mother leaning hard on thee. And I just want to encourage you mothers here this morning. This is not something you can do alone. But you really do need God's grace. You need to be filled every day. And I know days for mothers can be hard to find quiet time, hard to find time alone with God. But I plead with you, don't let it go, because that has to be your anchor. You have to be at peace with life if you're going to be what God wants you to be to your children. Letter B, the children's responsibility in the legacy. I cannot make you see the legacy your mother has been passing down to you. I cannot make you see the gift. But the reason we looked at number one is to seek to understand your mother. And secondly, in respect. It's because that unless I seek to understand my mother, unless I respect her, I will not see the legacy. You will miss the gift. And you cannot separate that. If you do not respect someone, you will not hear what they say. You will not listen to them. If you respect someone, your appreciation will grow. Yes, you may see some faults. You may see some failures. But you also see the gift they've been trying to give. It is also true that the gift that God wants me to see in my mother and the gift that God wants you to see in your mother are two different things. Yes, we could make it broad and say that, you know what, it's a godly mother. But there are specific things that I think about that I know that my mother has handed down to me as a gift. And I know it's not the same for everyone else. But I just want you to think about that there's been some gifts, plural, that your mother has given to you. It is a legacy that was passed on. And I simply have a choice what I'm going to do with that today. You see, someday it will be my turn. It will be your turn. Whether you're a mother or a father. And you know what? The question that we must answer is, what do I want my children to do to me? How do I want them to treat me? How do I want them to respect me? Many times, there's a lot of connection between how we have treated our mother and how we will get treated ourselves. God bless you for your good attention. Let's kneel for prayer.